Okay. So pray for Matthew. Yeah. Does that mean you know the bus driver and you really? So pray for Matthew. He's at school. They're taking a trip down to San Antonio. Got competition down there. Is that what it is? All right. Yeah. So that's good. So you pray for them as they go and pray for Matthew. He'll do his best. Okay. I enjoy his playing, man. I enjoy that trumpet. I just like that real good. So I appreciate him doing it. And pray for Ms. Lawler's family situation. There's things going on. And I mentioned to you this morning, there's a family I sure wish you'd pray for. And having marital problems, they really need some help from God. And boy, if you'd pray for them, I'd appreciate it. I would appreciate it. I forgot to tell you, if you turn in your money on the IOU, make sure you don't just put it in the offering plate, all right? Make sure you put it in an envelope and write on it that it's for the Leak family, okay? Anybody just put it in the offering plate tonight without marking it? I was going to say, if you did, too bad, you got to give it again. No, we won't do that. Okay, Romans chapter 7, if you will, tonight. Look with me at verse 14. By the way, I was going to tell my two granddaughters, y'all don't get your Aunt Christy in trouble tonight, okay? She's sitting there on the third row right in front of me, so she can't hide. Y'all don't get her in trouble, all right? All right, Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to speak to you tonight on winning your greatest battle. Winning your greatest battle. Now, a lot of people think, well, my greatest battle is going to be with the devil. No, it's not. It's not going to be the greatest battle you have to fight. It's not going to be the devil. Now, you will have to contend with him. There would be some struggles there. It'll not be the good fight of faith, although all of us ought to be fighting the good fight of faith. But that's not going to be the greatest battle we face. And that battle is not going to be fought before vast throngs of people. It's not going to be in an arena where you're surrounded with all these people looking down and watching. No. Hey, the truth of the matter is the greatest battle we're going to fight is always pretty much we fight it alone. It's just us, okay? It's out of the sight of man where nobody sees it, nobody's watching. There's going to be little or no fanfare associated with it, okay? It's not going to, if you win it, it's not going to make the newspaper, okay? It won't even make Facebook. It's just not going to make anything. It's not going to be, if you win that battle, it's not going to be, all right? You see, the greatest battle we face is going to be with our own flesh. The greatest battle we're going to fight is with our own flesh. Listen, if you're saved tonight, if you've been born again and you're on your way to heaven because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is a marvelous thing. That is a great cause for rejoicing, but you still have to contend with the flesh. That flesh of yours didn't get saved. It wasn't redeemed. It hasn't been changed. That flesh is still the old man, and the old man's still the same way he was before you got born again, all right? And that flesh is still there, and you're going to war against that flesh. Now, before you got saved, you said, well, man, I didn't have all these problems before I got saved. That's right. You and the flesh were on the same team, headed the same way. So there was no conflict. It was okay. But now you're saved, all right? Now you got to fight that flesh. And let me just say this to you, that fight is not a fight that can be won in just a few moments of time. It's not like that. I used to really enjoy watching boxing, and I don't care that much for it anymore, but I think it's because of the quality of the fighters nowadays. But man, back in the days of old Sugar Ray Leonard and guys like that, I really enjoyed watching boxing. But I watch boxing for one thing. I watch for the knockout. I mean, I was a kid when Muhammad Ali was boxing and big, and I just hated watching him. I mean, you know, he floated like a butterfly, and I got tired of the floating. I said, stand still, hit somebody, buddy, all right? You know, I wanted to watch it. I wanted to see that knockout. I didn't like it to get down to the end. Get down to the end and the final bell ring and say, now we're going to the judges. Because I usually disagreed with the judges. I really did, man. Hey, if you want to, you know, if you're in a fight, if you're going to box, okay, this time of year, Golden Gloves is kicking in. It'll be really going strong here pretty quick. Used to love to go to Golden Gloves boxing matches. If you don't want to argue about whether you won the fight or not, we'll knock the dude out, okay? I mean, there's no argument. If the other fellow's stretched out on the floor and the ref has counted 10, there's no argument. The judge can't say, well, I think he really had a little better fight than you did. Well, it doesn't really matter, okay? I like them when they're won in just a few moments of time. But your battle's not going to be won that way. It's going to be a fight that's going to be many, 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 many rounds. It's not a three-rounder. Golden Gloves, three rounds. A lot of professional fights, 10 rounds, some 12, heard of some 15. But in the older bare-knuckle days, man, there'd be 150 rounds. Hey, I want to tell you, that battle, that fight you've got, it's going to be a lot of rounds. And you can count on getting bloodied more than one occasion. The flesh is going to bloody you. You're going to do that, all right? Now, it's how you do in this fight with your flesh that's going to determine how you come out as a Christian. All right? I mean, that's just what it boils down to. How you come out and you're as a Christian is going to be determined by how you do in that fight with the flesh. Okay? Very simple. And I've got three very easy, simple points. Nobody's going to be confused tonight. Nobody's going to go, he lost me. We're not going to lose you, okay? Hey, the first thing, if you want to win the greatest battle you're in, number one, don't feed the flesh. Amen. Don't feed the flesh. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 13. Have your Bible there, Romans chapter 13, the last verse in that chapter. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision for the flesh. Okay? You with me? If you're gonna fight that flesh, then you don't feed the flesh. You just don't feed it. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, hey, the flesh cries out for attention. The flesh cries out for attention. Y'all know I've been on a diet, okay? And that diet, man, I just decided several weeks ago hunger is gonna be a constant companion. I decided, okay, I'm going to be hungry, so let's just get over it, all right? I've got in my study at the house, there's a bag of almonds sitting right there beside me. Haven't touched them. Haven't touched them. Because I just understand, I'm just going to be hungry. Now, the people at the place I'm going to, they say, well, you shouldn't be hungry. You shouldn't be hungry. And I said, yeah, and I won't lose any weight either, all right? But I know me, okay? Well, but my flesh, you know, my flesh still likes mashed potatoes and gravy. My flesh still likes chicken fried steak. My flesh, man, this hardest thing, My flesh still likes biscuits and gravy and sausage. Breakfast time. I went in the kitchen the other morning. I don't remember if it's Friday or Saturday. I think it's Friday. Walk in there, and I had offered to cook eggs. I can have two boiled eggs for breakfast. Pretty exciting breakfast. So I was in there, and I walk in there, and I see my wife. She's got a biscuit and a patty of sausage and an egg. I'll be honest, divorce was just that close. I mean, I'm looking at that thinking. But then another day, I look over there in the deal, and I'd seen the sausage out before she cooked it. Looked over there, it was sausage gravy. And I'm eating a boiled egg. Hey, I just want to tell you, okay? I want you to know this. My flesh said, that looks better than what you're having. That looks better. That looks better. Look, your flesh cries out for attention. And it's not just that appetite, the hunger appetite. All the appetites of the flesh cry out for attention. Every one of them do, all right? And that flesh is never going to just roll over and play dead and say, okay, you win. It's never going to do that. That will not happen. That flesh is going to cry out for your attention. The problem is, if you feed it, there'll never come a time when it's satisfied. Never. Look over in Proverbs chapter 30, would you? Proverbs chapter 30. Boy, there's an interesting verse here. Proverbs 30, verse 15. The Bible said, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. Hey, your flesh is never going to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. Let me say this to you. You got a problem with booze. You got a problem with drinking. You're never going to drink where that last, you're going to never get to the point where you drink one and you goes, well, I don't think I'll ever want another. It's not going to happen. Never going to happen. Never going to get to that point. The dope addict, never going to get to that last snort of cocaine and say, that's enough. I'm satisfied. Don't ever want any more. Truth of the matter is, all of that stuff's cumulative. The more you get, the more you want. And you just keep on wanting more. You never get to the point where you said, that's enough. That's enough. You never get there because the flesh will not say that. You just must not feed the flesh. The scripture there in Romans 13:14 said, don't even make provision. Don't even make provision to indulge your flesh. It's the same principle, if you will, as the don't feed the bears sign at the national park. There's a reason they don't want you feeding the bears, okay? Now you may think, oh, how cute they look, you know. But you can't begin to think and realize what kind of a nuisance they'll be. And one day the time will come, somebody will be feeding the bear, and the bear will decide to eat the feeder, all right? Say, I want some fingers with this sandwich, all right? Or I want an arm. Hey, you just, it ruins them. It absolutely ruins anything you do it. Hey, when you feed the flesh, it sets you up. If you make provision, if you say, well, I'm just going to keep it, all right, it sets you up to be destroyed by those appetites that you think I can control. No, they'll destroy you. They'll destroy you. Man, don't feed the flesh, okay? If you're going to feed something, feed your spirit. Feed the spirit. Hey, man, get in your Bible, read your Bible. Get involved in preaching. Come to the preaching. Listen to the preaching. Wherever you go, just pay attention, all right? Why, that's good. It's feeding the spirit, all right? It's feeding that spiritual man. You need that kind of thing. Hey, listen to the right music. You say, what is it? Nothing that's popular in the world today. Nothing that's popular in the world today. Boy, you need to find you some music that'll lift your spirit. That won't make you think, well, I need to look at somebody other than my spouse. You don't need that kind of thing, all right? Anything that put impure thoughts in your head. Well, get something that'll help you, all right? Get something that'll help you. Look for it. Look for it. I mean, it's available. I told you I had a good time this afternoon. I spent this afternoon, I got my computer hooked up again to my turntable, and I'm taking some old record albums. I had one today, it was recorded in the 70s. I recorded it into my computer, all right? And man, just sitting there listening to those songs, it blessed my soul. Just what a blessing it was. Hey, listen to the right music. Listen to the right music. Hey, get the right thoughts going in your head. Get the right thoughts going. Go over there, Philippians, where it said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, be any good. All of the, think on those things. Think on those things. It's hard to even drive down the road nowadays because you see the stinking billboards. And they want to conquer your mind, suck you in, and get you thinking. I'm just about all of my TV watching now is through the internet. I got rid of all the cable and all that kind of stuff. But there is the most irritating commercials in the world on the internet. They are the most irritating things. And I'm sitting there going, bless God, the only thing this does make me know I'll never buy from that company. If that company's the last insurance company selling insurance, I will not have insurance. Man, just drives me nuts, all right? If anybody else is affected the way I am, those people are defeating their own purpose, all right? With the dumbest commercials in the world. Hey, but they're designed to suck you in, get you thinking about them. Hey, you need to set your heart and your mind on greater things. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the spirit. Feed the spirit. You want to win that battle? Don't feed your flesh. Second thing, Romans chapter 8. Would you look there with me? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Verse 14, same chapter. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hey, listen, not only should you not feed the flesh, but don't follow it. Don't follow it. Look, God provided something for you and I as a Christian. And he gave us that which would cause us to stand out from the world. And that is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us into all truth, to help us into all truth. Hey, that's the reason when you sit down to read your Bible, don't open it up like you do the newspaper. Amen. Don't open it up like you do a novel. Hey, open it up like it is. It's the Word of God, and pray and ask God to help you. Lord, would you just help me? Holy Spirit, would you help me to understand what I read and to be able to grasp the truth I need to see today? Hey, listen, he's there to guide us into all truth. You say, well, why are so many Christians just messed up, terribly messed up? Because they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They're not following the Spirit. They're following their flesh. They're following their flesh. Following the flesh means that you're walking by sight. Okay? Walking by sight. Now, we're not to walk by sight, okay? We're not to walk after the flesh, we're to walk after the Spirit. But we the walking after sight because we begin to think, well, what is it I like? What is it I like? What is it that I want? What is it that's important to me? Listen, we ought to spend some time asking God, Lord, what do you want for me? Where do you want me to go? and not just spend our life doing our own thing, our own way, just fulfilling our own lust of our own flesh, and just saying, well, this is what I want to do. Find out what God wants you to do. There's some trying to talk to you about how to win the greatest battle you're going to fight. You don't do it following your flesh. You don't do it walking by sight. You don't do it by saying, well, I just don't see how that would work, preacher. Well, God didn't say you had to see how it would work. We're to trust Him. I think about old Peter that night on the stormy Sea of Galilee. And the Lord came walking on the water, scared the fire out of the disciples. And if I'd have been in the boat with them, I'd have been scared too, all right? But they finally figured out who it was. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Old Peter got out of that boat, all right? But I guarantee you, the Bible says when he saw the waves were boisterous, that's where he got messed up. Because then he began to walk by sight. When he got out of the boat, he was walking by faith. Now, we can say whatever you want to. There's two ways of looking at that deal. You can say whatever you want to about Peter, running him down. But how about the 11 cowards that wouldn't get out of the boat, all right? They're like us. We're sitting in the boat going, man, them waves. That's rough. You can't do that. I mean, even if that surface is stable. Well, it's up and down all the time. You never make it. That's walking by sight. But God calls you and I to walk by faith. He doesn't want us to go just where we can see. He doesn't want us to do things just because we can see how it's going to work out. His challenge to us is, hey, won't you trust me? Won't you to trust me? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we're going to quote that verse the way it really applies, we walk by sight, not by faith. Way too much of the time we walk by sight, not by faith. Preacher wants to challenge you to do something. I just don't see how that'll work. I don't see how that'll work. Look, if God's in it, we probably won't see how it'll work, okay? We're not going to see how it works, but God's going to take care of it, all right? He's in control of those things. He's in control. Those sailors that night on board that boat with Jonah told them, I'm the problem, throw me overboard. You read the Bible there, and they tried to take care of it by themselves, but finally they decided we don't have any choice. So, okay, Jonah, you said it, here you go. Every one of those guys said, how's this going to help? But it did. But it did. Why? Because it's the will of God. It's the will of God. Now, old Jonah, he winds up in the whale. God deals with him, and Jonah says, change my mind about going to Nineveh. Change my mind. I believe I'll go. I believe I'll go. I mean, I'm good. You just let me out of here, and I'm headed that way. And the Bible tells us that old whale spit him out on the land, and Jonah hit the ground running, man. He trucked it. He's doing what God wanted me to do. And God did a miracle. But it's not because of Jonah walking by faith. Okay? God had to work on him a little bit. Now, I don't know about y'all. I like to fish. And I've looked inside the mouth of some fish. I've never looked in the mouth of anyone that I've made me say, I wonder what it's like in there. What are you getting at, preacher? Here's what I'm getting at. God's speaking to me. I want to do what he says without him having run me through the whale college, all right? I don't want him to have to do that. Hey, we're to walk by faith. We're not to follow the flesh. We're not to follow the flesh. Freedom comes from walking in the Spirit. That's what Galatians chapter 5, turn there if you would, Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. we talk about, well, I'd like to have freedom. I'd like to be free. Okay, good. But in Galatians 5:18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You want freedom? Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Quit following your flesh and follow the Spirit of God. Hey, that's not freedom to do anything you jolly well please, but it is freedom to serve Him, do things His way, the way He wants it done. Great freedom. And it's freedom from the bondage that following the flesh will bring you. Man, you talk about getting enslaved. We get enslaved by the flesh. Just get enslaved by it. There's not a single wino in Fort Worth that set out to when they were young and said, my life's ambition is to be a wino. I want to be a drunk. Nobody did that. Nobody set out with that life's goal. Didn't do it. Don't care where it is. None of them did that. But they became enslaved. They became enslaved by their own flesh. Because it was just, I'm trying to please this flesh. Please this flesh. You ever see the cigarette smoker? In years gone by, I watched people, man, they'd suck deeply on it, cough for 5 minutes, and suck again. Why? Enslaved. Enslaved by their own flesh. By their own flesh. And then after we do that, okay, we're going to sue the tobacco company. It's their fault. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of sympathy for people. Ever since I was a kid, now I was born in Vidalia, Georgia. Vidalia, Georgia is in the center of tobacco growing country in Georgia. And I mean, every year there was, the trucks would come by hauling the tobacco. And I just be honest with you, if a cigarette tasted like that tobacco leaf smells after it's cured, I might have been tempted. Man, those things smell good. And boy, they have a wonderful smell to them. They don't smell anything like smoke comes off of them, all right? Nothing at all like that. But I was born right there. My dad stood in the pulpit and preached against smoking. My dad preached against smoking. That was before they put the warning label on the cigarettes, all right? Why? Because he read the Bible. He read the Bible. Hey, we get enslaved by our own appetites, our own lust, our own flesh. Hey, don't do that. Be led of the Spirit. You guaranteed following the flesh will always put you on the wrong road. Every time. I don't care what it is. I don't care what direction, what part of it, what appetite it is. Following the flesh is always going to put you on the wrong road. Going to have you headed down somewhere you really don't want to go. But man, it's just like knocking yourself out trying to, and you preach to people, and oh, preach, don't try to tell me what to do. Well, I'm trying to keep you out of the morgue, okay? Just trying to keep you out of the morgue. I preach against drinking. You say, why do you preach against drinking? Because I've stood by the bedside of two young men that I knew when they were teenagers, and they were now quadriplegics. Both of them involved in a wreck because of booze. Both of them. So those guys that were alert and active and everything, they're now in the bed, their arms are curled like this, they can't help them. They can't really help themselves. And I only had to stand in front of one of them before I thought, boy, that's stupid. Man, I wish you'd just listen to me when you're in the youth department. Wish you'd just listen to me when you're in the youth department. Hey, you decide I can follow the flesh. It'll put you on the wrong road. Put you on the wrong road. Third thing, hey, don't feed it. Don't follow it. And whatever you do, don't flaunt the flesh. Don't flaunt the flesh. Verse 18 of our text, we read, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But, oh, my soul, the people like to show it off." Man, do we like to flaunt the flesh in our day. Hey, I mean, you know, look at me. look at this wonderful, look at this physique I've got. Can't begin to tell you how many ladies that I've known that were overweight and had a problem with weight. And they lost it, and they trimmed way down, and they left their husband. The guy that had loved them when they were, as Ms. McFarland used to say, kind of fleshy. They left that one. Because now, hey, I'm appealing to somebody else now. God help us. Just flaunting the flesh. What a temptation there is for man to be so proud of the body and want to show it off. Just want to show it off. Hey, and it's not just the women. Not just women, it's men. You know, we get a shirt and unbutton it down to your belly button. So everybody see the three hairs you got on your chest. And we can rejoice with you, right? And what in the world's wrong with us? What in the world's wrong with us? We just got to expose it there. I'm gonna go down to the beach and strip off and look at here, you know, here's my flesh. Nah, why do we do that? Why do we do that? In years gone by, people wore more clothes swimming than people do today to the restaurant, all right? It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's embarrassing as a man to go a lot of places. Because you almost have to look up all the time. All the time. Hey, preacher, my dress is down low. Yeah, but you got that little slit upside. Oh, God help us. Just want to give you a little glimpse. I don't want a glimpse. Hey, let me make it plain. The Bible, hey, you men, you ladies, the Bible makes it real plain. Our body is for our husband or our wife. That's it. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else. That it's for our husband, it's for our wife. That's it. Now, in case you ain't figured it out, men, your body is for your wife. Don't want you to mistake and say, well, he said husband or wife. No, I was talking about it. For men, it's for your wife. Ladies, it's for your husband, okay? Now, we live in a day, this may get me kicked off of YouTube, all right? But, hey, we live in a strange day now. Hey, that body, don't flaunt that flesh. Don't flaunt that flesh. Hey, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to lose weight because I just got tired of being fat, all right? Just got tired of it. I want to get rid of it. But I'm not doing it because when I get down slim trim, if that ever happens, I'm not doing it so if I get to that stage, I can say, hey, now, sweetheart, you're going to have to fight and have all them other women be flocking in. No, that's stupid, stupid, stupid. Hey, listen. That body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says whose you are. You belong to Him, all right? When you get to the point where you want to flaunt your flesh, what it does is it causes other people to sin. Causes other people to sin. That makes you a partaker of their evil deeds. That makes you a partaker of them. That winds up you surround yourself with others who like to sin. Now, where you reckon you're going in that situation? Where you reckon you're headed? Well, listen, I want you to win that battle. I want you to win that battle. It's the greatest battle you'll fight. I want you to win that battle. I want you to conquer that flesh. I want you to do, the Bible says we're to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is, put them to death, all right? But it's an everyday thing. You have to do it every day. If yesterday you got through and you conquered the flesh, man, glory to God. And today you got through and you conquered the flesh, don't get up tomorrow morning thinking, I've got it made. You're still going to have to deal with it. It's just another round. Just another round. Hey, don't feed your flesh. Don't follow your flesh. And whatever you do, don't get to the idea that you can flaunt it. Okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, let's follow the Holy Spirit. Let's feed the spiritual man. Let's starve the fleshly man. So more and more we can see him shrivel up, but let's feed that spiritual man. Let's keep him doing good. Fatten him up, all right? Just do something for him. Make it a habit. We're going to do that. Hey, listen, that's why we encourage people to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of revival, every day of the mission conference. Be there. Why? Feeding your spirit, man. Help you. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to help you a little bit. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we tell you, hey, read your Bible. Read your Bible. We got a list out. And, man, hey, can I just put my hand up right here? I don't know why God didn't take Leviticus out of the Bible after the Old Testament times. I don't know why he didn't. That's the human side of me coming out. Now, wait a minute. I know there's types and I know there's great lessons, but that is the most difficult book in the Bible for me to read. And that's the one we've been in, right? Trying to finish out Leviticus. I did. I told my wife, hey, that the day the law is over, we don't have to do those sacrifices anymore. And we're not worried about, is that leprosy or is that not leprosy? Well, what color's the hair in that leprosy, in that scab? We're not worried about it. Lord, why didn't you just take it out? But God left it in there. Can I say this to you? I have to say it to me too. It's good for my spirit to read that, because it makes me slap the flesh. Because the flesh is the one saying, why didn't God take that out? That's why we encourage you to read your Bible. Why? I want you to win the battle. I want you to win that battle. So how's it going? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes tonight? Hey, listen, how's the battle going, huh? How's it going? Say, well, I've won some, I've lost some. All right, good. Stay in the battle, though, okay? Stay in the battle. Don't give up. Amen. Don't bail out. Don't think, well, it's time to quit. You know, I just can't win. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You can win. You can overcome that flesh. If you can't, God wouldn't have told you to do it, okay? He wouldn't have said mortify the deeds of the flesh if you couldn't do it. How's it going? Are you feeding it? Hey, you need to cut off the food supply. You need to quit following the flesh. Or if you ever get that temptation to flaunt it, man, you need to stop that. If you need help tonight, the altar's here. Would you come? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, it's true. We're going to fight this battle. We're going to fight this battle for as long as we live. And Lord, would you help us to win? Help us see the truth in the Word of God, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Lord, help me to fight it. Help each one here to do that. Lord, if we need help tonight, I pray folks would come to the altar and get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.